Amen. I could hear that again. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sam and choir and orchestra and Lee. Just such stirring music today as we go right out into the Word of God. And so I invite you now to, for the last time, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. We've been going through this sermon series entitled One, talking about the seven one statements there are in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, and we've worked our way up to the seventh and final one statement in verse 6. And I want you to keep your Bible open on your lap or your side as my sermon. Its points will be coming from that text. We have also been using the Baptist Faith and Message, our church's statement of faith, as a supplement to this one series, and you might want to find the article on God the Father there also, as we'll refer to it a couple of times this morning. But Ephesians 4, 6 begins this way. There is one God. And in this day of a plurality of gods with a little g, we need to affirm what the Baptist Faith and Message says on the article about God the Father. It says there is one and only one living and true God. Ephesians 4, 6 goes on to say that our one God is the Father of us all. Now, how are we to understand that? Well, there's two options for us. First of all, we could say He's the Father of all mankind in the sense that we are created in His image. But I believe when we look at the context of the scripture that we're looking at today, the clear application is not that He is the Father of all mankind because we're all created in His image, but He is the Father of Christians, like the believers that were being written to here in the book of Ephesians, those who had put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this Valentine's Day weekend, it is a blessing to hear again from 1 John 3, verse 1, which says, and I quote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the children of God." And you might ask, well, how do I become a child of God? And Galatians 3:26 tells us how. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And it is my prayer that if you've never expressed faith in the Christ Jesus, the only Son of God, that you would do that today and become a child of God. Now, I want you to notice something with me here in verse 6 of Ephesians 4. Notice the word "all" is used four times in this verse. Therefore, the title of our message, "The All of One God." And let's just read Ephesians 4, verse 6, emphasizing those words "all." There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I thank God for Steve Farr and all of his youth workers and the wonderful job that they're doing leading our young people. And the Disciple Now weekend is coming up soon, March 6th through 8th. And the theme for this year's Disciple Now weekend is all. And so I'm just giving them a little heads up, a little head start, something to whet their appetite about that wonderful weekend that they'll share together. And if you're a young person or you know a young person that hadn't signed up yet, I hope that they will do so soon. But I want us to look at this fact. There is a Latin term called omni. And omni in the English language means all, like the alls, the four alls that we see here in verse 6. And you can see in your notes, we're going to talk about three omnis or three alls of God. We've already discussed that He is the Father of all, those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go on further and look at three very important phrases as we first of all see that He is a God who has, number one, omnipotence. Potence means power, and when we read that He is above all, it shows us His sovereignty. It shows us that He is in control of all things. This last Thursday afternoon, I was in the ICU unit of Noonan Piedmont Hospital with Joyce Amos. Her dear husband, Donald, had just passed away. And we were sitting there just talking in the ICU room, and Joyce was commiserating with me about how we as finite and frail human beings don't often understand God's timing. And in the course of time, the nurses came into the room and asked if we would step out and go to the waiting room. And in that short walk between the room where Donald was in the waiting room, Joyce said something that was very significant. She said, "You know, if you want to make God smile, just tell Him your plans." It's another way of an old Yiddish proverb that says, "Man plans and God laughs." So many times we have detailed plans that we're scheming our life toward, and plans for our education, plans for our careers, plans for our retirement. And we better make sure that God is the one, the omnipotent God who is above all, is the one who is planning our life, and that we're just following in obedience to Him. Well, it's interesting to read in history about those who thought they were more powerful than God. One of those people was the Emperor Napoleon, and on the eve of his invasion of Russia, the story is told about him bragging to a noble lady about his plans that he was going to have in defeating the country of Russia. And the noble lady was so concerned about his braggadocious and arrogant and haughty and conceited spirit that she said, "You know that man plans, but God disposes." And Napoleon, true to his own pride, responded, "Napoleon plans and Napoleon disposes." Just a few short months later, Napoleon would be in a disastrous retreat from Russia. He would have lost his crown. He would have lost his army. And he would have lost his liberty, proving that it is God alone who is omnipotent. And His omnipotence often puts arrogant people like Napoleon in their place. But His omnipotence does something else. It assures us of His concern for us and His care for us. Of course, we've all heard of the Titanic, the ship that was bragged about as unsinkable. Even her captain, Jones, said that the ship was so great that even God Himself could not sink it. He should have never said that, because it proved to be untrue. But there was a visiting American preacher in the city of Belfast, Ireland, just days before the Titanic sunk and many perished on board. And this city of Belfast, Ireland, had 16 men who were skilled mechanics on the Titanic. And the odd thing about these 16 men was they were all members of the same church in Belfast. They and their families went to the same church. And all 16 of these men were on board the Titanic when it sank, and all 16 of those men died. The mayor of Belfast said there had never been grief like that in his city in the days following the disaster of the Titanic. And this American preacher that was visiting was scheduled to preach the very next Sunday after that tragedy in the church where these 16 families and all their friends were. He chose as the title of his message, The Unsinkable Ship. And of course, everyone there thought he was going to preach on the Titanic, but no, he didn't. He preached on the frail little boat on the Sea of Galilee that had been battered by the storms, but was unharmed because Jesus, the Lord of the land and sea, was on board. Oh, dear friend, I know many of you have storms that are beating against your life today. There's problems, problems in your home, problems in your marriage, maybe problems with school, problems in retirement years, problems in your career. And I want you to know that if your faith is in the omnipotent God, if He is on board the vessel of your life, He will see you through that valley of the shadow of death. And so when we look at that all statement, He is above all, it tells us emphatically that He is omnipotent. He is indeed all-powerful. But let's go on to the next all statement. It tells us that He is omniscient. And you might say, well, how do I spell omniscience? You know how to spell science, don't you? S-C-I-E-N-C-E. That's how you spell that big theological word, omniscience. You just omni and science. I looked up science in the dictionary. You know what science is defined as? The state of knowing, the state of knowledge. And God is omni or all-knowing. And we know that because of this statement in verse 6. It says He is not only above all omnipotent, but He is through all. He is through every circumstance and individual in this world. He comes through for those who are feeling down and out. He knows you and your situation through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 12 that God knows the number of hairs upon our head. And then the writer of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give an account." You know, Jesus said that we will give an account of every word that we say, every idle word. There's like a tape recorder going in heaven, and one day we'll stand before a holy, omnipotent, omniscient God who has known every thought that you've ever had, every word you've ever spoken, and every action you've ever took. And one day we'll stand before this omniscient God who knows all. He's very much aware of who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. A lot of us don't like that. Well, let me tell you something else you might not like. It's that Android that you've got carrying around in your pocket. You might not realize this, but that iPhone or iPad is recording your every movement. Did you know that? And is storing it in a file. And through triangulation between cell phone towers, it can chart your exact longitude and latitude and the exact moment that you were there. There are many criminal cases and missing person cases that have been solved because of this device, this feature of our Androids or our iPads. And some of us don't want to know anybody to know where we've been. Well, as good as your iPhone is and your iPad is, God is even better. He's got His eyes on you right now. He hadn't forgotten about each and every weary step you take. He has taken note of it. I've said this so many times before, but William Barclay, whenever he was commenting on God knows when a sparrow falls, he said the truest form of the Aramaic language, which Jesus' statement was in when He said, God knows when a sparrow falls, is not when a sparrow falls from a branch, to its death to the ground, which would be the most significant event in that sparrow's life. But God knows when every sparrow falls from every hop that it takes. Hop, fall, hop, fall, hop, fall. How many hops do you think a sparrow makes in a day? Probably thousands. And God takes note of each one. He knows the longitude, He knows the latitude, He knows the time of day, and if He knows that about the sparrow, if He knows the number of hairs upon your head, oh friend, He knows every weary step it took for you to get into this house of worship today. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. Well, last week I read something that was amazing to me. Scientists estimate that our universe has 76 trillion stars in it. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression, 6 trillion. Well, so what is 76 trillion? Well, I guess I could describe it this way. It's 70,000 million, million, millions. And I know that doesn't help a lot of us, so let me try it this way. It is a 7 with 22 zeros behind it. And maybe that still doesn't help. I think this might help even more to understand how big the number 76 trillion is. It is 10 times more than the numbers of grains of sand that are on this earth. That's how many stars there are in our universe. And you know what the Bible says about God and those stars? Over in Psalm 147, verse 4, it says, God counts the number of stars and He gives them all names. And none of them are lost. Well, just think of coming up with 76 trillion names. Think about God keeping track of each one of those stars at the same time, 10 times more than every grain of sand on our planet. This is the God we worship. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. Sir Isaac Newton lived to be 85 years old. He is considered by many scientists to be the wisest, or at least one of the wisest scientists of all time, not just his time, but of all time. And someone asked Sir Isaac Newton in advanced years, he was an old man, about all that he had learned. And Sir Isaac Newton said, oh, I have not begun to learn nearly everything. He says, I see myself as a small boy walking along a seashore line and picking up seashells and carrying as many as I can in my hands, only to look up and look from one end of the seashore to the other and see that there are many more seashells that I could not pick up or would not pick up. He said, and God holds all those seashells in His hand. He is omniscient. He knows all. We only see the tip of the iceberg. This was the same strong feeling that the psalmist had in Psalm 139 when he said, and I quote, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, and behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You've hedged me from behind and before, laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Oh, my dear friend, the God that we worship, the one true and living God who is the Father of us all who are believers, is not only omnipotent, but He is omniscient. But there is a fourth and final all statement here in Ephesians 4:6, where it says there that He is in you all. And when we see that expression, it tells about His omnipresence. He is in you all. He is in every believer and in every circumstance of life at the same time. Now, whenever you get on a plane here at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport and you're about to take off, and the flight attendants have cared for your needs, and one of the final instructions they give you is to turn off all your electronic devices. I've really puzzled over that because there are literally tens of thousands of radio waves in the air around us at the same time. They're invisible to us. But think about it. Why do you just turn off your cell phone? I want someone in the airline industry to explain that to me. When there are these invisible, tens of thousands of them, radio waves all around us. Just for instance, there are short waves, there are microwaves, even in this room. We don't see them, but they're all around us. There's AM and FM radio waves. There are TV waves. There are, CB waves. I was preaching one time in my last church, and a trucker came in over our sound system, a breaker one or whatever, and our receiver picked him up. So there's CB waves all around us, cell phone waves all around us, but it doesn't stop there. There's police waves and fire rescue waves. There are ultra low-frequency waves, and they're ultra-high-frequency waves. I mean, we can't see them. They're invisible to us. But there are tens of thousands of radio waves around us right now at this very moment. And they're at work. They're omnipresent in a sense. And many times we're unaware of them because we don't have the right receiver to pick them up. And that happens to a lot of people that sit in a worship service like this. Boy, God's all around you. He's speaking to you. He's trying to get your attention, but you're just not tuned in. Well, friend, I want you to tune in to the omnipresent God who is all around you today. And we're not talking about pantheism, where God is this tree over here and this blade of grass over here. No, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a personal God who is present everywhere at the same time and present in the life of every believer at the same time. Well, the psalmist that I referred to a while ago also praised God for his omnipresence. In Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit?" He's speaking to God. "Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, and even night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide me from you. But the night shines as the day, the darkness as the light, are both alike to you." I want to tell you about a guy by the name of John Franklin. He was an Englishman who distinguished himself for his service in the Navy of his native country, England, in the mid-19th century. He was protected through many military conquests. Most notable is that of the British Army or British Navy's attack on New Orleans, and General Andrew Jackson successfully pushed back the English Navy, of which John was a part of. And so John Franklin went on from that experience to become a discoverer, and he discovered the Northwest Passage and made many other Arctic ventures, for which he was honored by Westminster Abbey and by Oxford. And then he was finally commissioned to find the Arctic Passage. The year is about 1845. And he was a devout Christian, and he took off on his journey. The family was very close to him. They received a couple of letters from him, but all of a sudden the letters stopped coming. And people wondered what happened to John Franklin. His wife spent a fortune in trying to find her husband. Finally, years later, his boat was found frozen in the north. And on board his boat were two skeletons. And John Franklin's open Bible was by his skeleton. And he had underlined two of the verses that I just read to you. If you'll indulge me, see how he spoke from beyond the grave on that frozen ship in the Arctic. He said, "God, if I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." God is everywhere. He is everywhere, friend. And some of us mistakenly think that we can get away from God. We can run from God. There was another guy named Jonah in the Bible that thought he could run away from God. And so he boarded a ship that was on its way to Spain, but he found out that the God that he was running away from in his home was still on that ship. The crew threw him overboard into the ocean, and he was swallowed by a great fish. And even in that great fish, God spoke to him, and he spoke to God. And even after he finally went to that distant country that God had commissioned him to and called him to, he found out that even in that evil country, God was there. He was everywhere. And I might be speaking to some people today who are running from God. You're running from doing His will. He wants you to do something specific today. And He's giving the opportunity to say yes. And my prayer is that you would say the same thing that the psalmist said in that psalm that I just read to you, Psalm 139, verse 23, where he said, "Search my heart, O God." Just search my heart. Lord, we're coming to this time of commitment, and I want you to turn your omniscient searchlight upon my heart and reveal every crack and crevice, reveal all the things that are hidden to everybody else. And Father, have your will and your way in my life. And the omnipotent, omniscient, an omnipresent God, the God of all, will intervene in your life today if you'll say yes to Him. Let's bow before Him. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, how we just want to thank You today for Your greatness, for Your splendor, for Your majesty. We praise You, dear God, for Your omniscience, for Your omnipotence, for Your omnipresence. God, You're right here with us like all of those radio waves that are invisible and surrounding us right now. And Lord, we just want to tune in our receiver to the right frequency so we can hear Your voice today. And Father, if we hear Your voice, we want to be like the writer of Hebrews and harden not our hearts. And Father, You're speaking to people right now. You know exactly where they are in their life. And Father, we ask that if there is a person here that needs a Savior, that they would say yes to You. Father, if there's a person here that needs a church home and this is the place that You want them to be, Father, we pray that they would say yes to You. Father, if You're trying to give some other direction in the life of someone here today, we pray that they wouldn't tune You out, but they would tune on the right frequency and hear Your voice and say, "Yes, God, I will obey You." Father, as You do this in our lives, we'll give You the praise and the honor for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.